will you help me welcome the former president of the United States, George W. Bush?
God bless you. God bless you.
How are you?
All right. God bless you. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Stan. Give me a hug.
God bless you, Mr.
Oh, appreciate you. All right. Well, who loves Jesus? I know I do. I'd be lost without him. And that's not just a matter of speech. You know, it's funny. I just thought of that. You know, people say that. I'd be lost without him. I'd be lost without Laura. But literally, without Jesus, we'd be lost. We'd be big time lost. I'm honored to be here to help all of you celebrate our independence. Happy Independence Day. Yeah. Thank you for welcoming me as we continue today to celebrate the 243rd anniversary of our founding, of our independence. And I've heard a lot about your pastor, Pastor Stan, and from him, I've heard a lot about you. And one thing I can tell you, and I know you know it after 25 years, the man loves you. So why don't we just let him know that we appreciate him. To those of you that have made the very wise decision to follow, oh, look, there's a whole bunch more up there. Hey, everybody. Suppose you're in the crow's nest. That's fun. I'll remember to look up once in a while. Where was I? Oh, yes. To those of you who have made the very wise life decision to follow Jesus, from Laura and me, way to go, amigos. That's right, sir. I speak Spanglish. Feliz Navidad. My llama is Jorge Bush. And one day we will all look into the eyes of our glorious Savior when he comes to take us home. And he will look back at us with those beautiful eyes and say something like, well done. Mi casa es su casa. But to the devil and all his team, he might use a little Mexican food lingo and say, mi casa es nachos. I like that, man. Put him up front. I do. I love our country. I love the freedom found in America and the freedom found in Jesus. Yes, indeed. And I wish Laura, my lovely Laura, could be here to meet all you wonderful people. She is my heartthrob to this day. After all these years, she still makes my heart go pity-pat, pity-pat, pity-pat. She flies my kite, floats my boat. She flips my flapjacks. She makes me feel. She makes me feel. She makes me feel like a natural Texan. You know, when I first met my delightful Laura, she was a librarian. I'll never forget the first time I checked her out. And she is a natural world leader as well. I'll tell you a little story. When we left D.C., Washington, we jumped on Air Force One. Oh, Air Force One. Now that's a man cave. And we were flying back to our wonderful home state of Texas, and we couldn't wait to get the Texas dust back up in our lungs, you know. So we had Air Force One drop us off at the corner of Texas and Oklahoma. where we had my Ford F-150 pickup truck waiting for us. Yeah, now. I know I'm in farm country. And we started tooling down the road, you know, and it was great. And we stopped at Waco to fill her up with some flex fuel. And it was then that I realized I hadn't gotten my wallet back from the Secret Service boys. Y'all like my Secret Service boys? Yeah. That's all Trump would loan me. So anyway, I said, Laura, honey, I ain't got my wallet. Would you mind going in and paying for the gas? And she says, sure, baby. So she jumps out of the truck and heads on into the station. And about 2 seconds later, she pulls the door open and says, honey, get in here. And I'm like, what? And so I went in the station, and all it was the guy behind the counter was one of Laura's old flames from back in high school. You know, so we had to do the back slap and the autograph and how are you doing and all that. And it was great. And we jumped back in the truck and we're tooling down the road, you know. And I looked over at Laura and I chuckled. And she just looked back at me and said, what? And I said, honey, think about it. If you'd have married that guy, you'd be working here. She said, if I'd have married him, he'd have been president. Yeah. And with that, gentlemen, do me a favor. Help me let the ladies of this church know how much we love them, because Stan and me and everybody else knows if it weren't for you ladies, we wouldn't have an America. So guys, let these ladies know that we love them. Yeah. Thank you. That's right. And while we're clapping, how about a hand for our nation's first responders, her police, her firefighters, and yes, her minister. Let's let them know how much we appreciate them. And how about one for the troops, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, the Coast Guard, the National Guard. Yes. Absolutely. If you're a veteran here, would you stand? We honor you. We honor you. One more time for the veteran. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We only celebrate today because of you. And we thank you for... Where'd the stairs go? Oh, there they are. You know, I'll never forget the first time I flew into the green zone. It was Thanksgiving Day, 2003, a moonless night. Went over there to eat a little turkey with the boys, to honor the troops, and to prove to the world that George Bush does not have arachnophobia. Punny, right? Got that one from 41. But it was scary, man. We had no running lights, no lights at all. It was total blackout on the ground. We had to feel our way in. I won't say we hit anything when we landed, ma'am, but Laura and I got brand new camel hair coats out of the deal. Oh, speaking of animal clothing, I just picked up my new boots. But I can assure you that no ostriches were harmed in the making of these boots. Yeah, he was harmed before the making of the boots. And while I was over there, I went and made sure to go out for a nice jog with some of the boys because I wanted to come home and be able to say, I went to Iraq and I ran. Been working on this material for a week. I know some of you are looking at me like going, is that really him? I assure you, folks, I'm me. I am definitely me. But don't be scared. I mean, don't be intimate, dated. Don't be intimate. Don't be worried. I'm just like any other American. I lost my job back in 2008. Lost my house about the same time. Wow. 2 terms. You know, it only felt like about 8 years. But once again, America has enjoyed another peaceful transfer of power and elected our 45th president. And this day and every day, we pray for the God-blessed success of President Donald J. Trump. What do you say? Yeah. I tried to get my brother Jebby elected. I even went out on the campaign trail with him. What a grueling 48 hours. The first thing you learn about the campaign trail is it's not an actual trail. I brought my bike for nothing. But I truly believe Jeb would have made a great president. I learned when we were kids that he will always tell you the truth. All you got to do is hold him down and dangle a loogie over his face. Oh, man, what an election, huh? What a showstopper. What an amazing man our president is. I tell you, Donald can call people names better than anybody I've ever seen. You got Little Rocket Man, Wicked Hillary. He called Jeb low energy. That hurt Jeb's feelings. He had to go home and take a nap. And then even the Pope, you remember that? The Pope weighed in on the election by questioning Donald Trump's faith. Huh. I know how we can find out about Donald Trump's faith. Send him hunting with Dick Cheney. I don't know if we'll see Donald pray, but I know for sure we'll see Donald duck. Ooh. Oh, man. But, you know, he's doing a great, great job. The economy is hustling and bustling. I mean, the Middle East is looking great. Hey, I tried to work with the Middle East. I've said it before. The Muslims and Jews have got to learn to live together. It's the Christian thing to do. But I learned a few things during my time in office. And I'd like to leave you guys with a little analogy. Say this after me. Courage.
Courage.
Communication.
Communication.
Character.
Character.
I call those the four C's of leadership. So, hey, it takes a lot of courage to do what I did. Run the country, fight terrorists, be anywhere close to Dick Cheney. One day somebody put a sticker on my limo that said, "Duck, duck, goose, Cheney's loose." But when you're a leader, and we're all leaders, if you're a mom or a dad, you're a leader. If you've got friends, you're a leader, because they're all watching. People learn from imitation. And so we want to be careful to choose the right actions, to live by our values, stand by our principles, even when it feels like nobody in the media thinks our ideas are any good. That's what I had to put up with, but it was all right, ma'am. It made me tough. Now I've got thick skin like an elephant, which is the symbol of the Republican Party. My Democratic friends are depicted as a donkey, or as my friends to the South call them, burritos. Now, the second C, communication. Communication is the most important part of talking. Good communication is only 15% verbal, which in my case is a good thing. Now, I may sometimes get fooled again with misunderappropriating my vernacular, but I'll have you know that I am fluent in over 9 different body languages, some of which I had to give up when I got saved. Just saying. But when you're bilingual, You've got to be careful to use the words you mean to use with intent, with carefully. Or you can create an international incident, as I learned during a recent trip to Krakistan. Remember that, guys? Yeah. There's a big difference between saying, I want a cracker and I am a cracker. The third C is character. Character. Character is who you are when no one's looking. I've studied character up close and personal, and I've seen all kinds of character around the world. Well, I've slept in Buckingham Palace. I've watched the sunrise over Jerusalem, and I feasted in the deserts of Abu Dhabi. I like that word. Abu Dhabi. Sounds like the Flintstones. What does Abu Dhabi do? Sounds like bibbidi bobbidi. Abu Dhabi. So anyway, to capsize what I'm trying to get across to you, you've got to remember the four C's of communication. And lately, I've been asking myself as a leader, and that's why we started the Presidential Leadership Institute at the Bush Library, George W. Bush Library. What is it that moves people? Well, a Hummer. But no, I'm talking about movement of the heart. You know, how do you transplant emotions? Well, music. Music. It's the universal language of love. Just think about it. Each and every one of us, we've got songs that move us, songs that every time you hear it, it takes you right back to where you were the first time you heard it. And then there's great American anthems like you were singing this morning. Here, help me out with this. Oh, say, can you see? That was the fourth C right there. I see you. A three-letter word so important that every hospital has one. The letter C is important, but D is my favorite letter. You know why? Because it's the first letter in the word W. Uh-oh. So anyway, I figured music. So I thought, well, if I can paint with a paintbrush, maybe I can paint with a guitar. So I started taking some lessons from my friend Willie Nelson. He's legal in Colorado. And I brought my little mini guitar. You guys want to hear a song? All right. Let's see here. Give me some chord. All right. Now, there's a beautiful song that was written by a man named Leonard Cohen, and I borrowed the music but put my own words to it. Hope you like it. It's called Ode to Donald Trump. There is a man, his name is Trump. He kicked my baby brother's rump. If you don't really care for politics, do you? But you hung in tough, you took the cake. Your strategy is to make us great. Misunderestimization never threw ya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, Hillary wanted you to run. I mean, you'd never win, but oh, what fun. When you were nominated, she sang, hallelujah. your orange hair, your goofy tan, your too long ties, your too small hands. Still America decided they would choose you. Hallelujah. And ring the bell. Donald won. Ain't that swell? We're all still Americans. That is true, yeah. So wait it out. Give peace a chance. Perhaps we'll all learn how to dance. And with one united voice, sing hallelujah. Help me out. Hallelujah. Job. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, one good turn deserves another. I've got the big boy here. I'd like to sing one more song that I wrote. Let's see if I can get this away. That's close enough. See, I'm reaching here. This is my pickpocket. But I also have something else in there I'm going to show you right now. See, you got to be willing to think outside the box. You know, a president can do different stuff. Paint pictures, play the ukulele. See, you got to be open-minded to what God might want to use your life for. You see, what I've got in my hand is 20 cents. See, but if I throw it over there like that, it becomes a paradigm shift. Yep. Mom made that one up. All right. Are we on in the house? We will be when I plug it in. All right. Well, I'm the free world leader. Freedom's rolling out to you. Oh, let it roll. Well, I'm the free world leader now, mama. Freedom rolling out to you. Ooh. Well, I'm the good news instigator, compassionate conversator. This freedom, it's rocking and rolling on out to you. Got me a nuclear buster, protecting freedom. That's what I do. Oh, you know it's true. Got me a daisy cluster. That's my strategy for you. Well, you'd best not mess with U.S., baby, or U.S. sure will mess with you. Hey, let's hear for the red, white, and blue. Yeah. All right, you guys ready to help me out? And there you go. Hey, look at the Dancing Secret Service. Yeah. Got to do the spin. Well, I'm a Laura lover. Ooh, that lovely lady stays on my mind. Whoa, she's so fine. Well, I'm a Laura lover. That lovely lady stays on my mind. That was the president doing the king. Well, I'm so glad I got her love for my own now. Sweet child, there won't be no child left behind. Seems how lately, babe, I got a bad case of red, white, and blue. Oh, yeah. See, if tomorrow I lost everything I've worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my knife, I mean my wife. Well, I thank God above to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and I'm glad to stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the man who died. Today, big finish. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. Yeah. Thank you so much. Right on, right on. Well, y'all can be seated. Because I have, I have a little something to share with you in way of vulnerability and honesty and confession. I'm not really George Bush. I'm John Morgan, and it's an honor to be an impersonator of a man that I love and respect, and I am so pleased to be with you. I have a few more things to share with you, but how about we give a hand to the Secret Service as they exit the stage? Thank you. Y'all can go. Thanks. I've had so much fun impersonating. And I have to tell you, I did not believe it would be that way. When somebody first said, you should become a George Bush impersonator, I had already seen one celebrity lookalike. And they were cringeworthy. It was scary. And I thought, I don't want to do that to my wife, my children. I don't want to be a laughing stock. I mean, I had friends, you know. I had no need to draw attention to myself. Well, maybe I did have that, but, you know, that's beside the point. But what happened was I prayed about it. And even though I didn't understand and I had no clue that God could use it, or in any way that it could turn into something wonderful. I knew that if God wanted me to do it, that even though I didn't trust the idea of it, I did trust Him. And I do trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
So I spent a little time fasting, and then I prayed about it, and I felt a very clear sense in my spirit that God indeed wanted me to become, as crazy as it sounds, a George Bush impersonator. And I had still no clue. I had no clue I had comedic timing. I had no clue I could actually do it. I knew I kind of resembled him a little bit, but I didn't know I could, you know, fool a room full of people or any of that stuff. His mannerisms, no clue. All I knew was to say yes to God was the right thing to do. And so I went to work, learning the ropes, learning the tools and the tricks of the trade. And then after I had been doing it for a couple of years, and God opened so many doors so quickly. I mean, it was crazy. I was all over the world. My beautiful bride, Kathy, and I were all over. We performed for President Bush's second inauguration. The GOP hired us to do a look-alike in one of the downtown hotels, and the airport hired us to greet people as they came into town. And it was so fun because she actually looks like Laura Bush. Do you have that picture up there, Emily? This is my wife and me. I mean, no, who knew, right? Who saw this coming? I don't know if you can find it. Aw, that's not what I meant. That's actually my wife. Honey, stand up. That's my wife, Kathy. And that's who she becomes. Look at that. Can you believe it? That's just crazy. So they hired us to be George and Laura lookalikes, and we had so much fun. Oh, my gosh. We got to go to the ball, the presidential ball, and it was just hilarious walking up to random Secret Service agents, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, where am I supposed to be? You know, and you know, getting all the pictures and stuff like I'm going to take with you. Hey, we're going to stay for the picnic and hang out, and we want everybody to come get a picture. If you came in through the main doors, you saw a White House backdrop as well as my two books sitting there, and I want to autograph a copy for each of you. I do have two books. I'm going to tell you about the first one I'll tell you about right now is called My Life as a Bush and My Heart for Imitating Jesus. It's a Christian devotional and a biography. It's my wacky story and all the crazy stuff I've done, like sneaking into the wax museum and just standing there. And when somebody snuggles up to get a picture, go, boo. It's been so crazy. First hand up gets this copy. Yes, ma'am. Come on up and get it. Let's give her a hand. Congratulations. Governor Mike Huckabee wrote the foreword to that book, and he's become a friend of mine, and I've had the incredible privilege of making a lot of amazing friends. I spoke in China, and I forgot where I was, and at the end I said, God bless you. It was just so fun. And so now I've had the opportunity to share my faith with people all around the world and to share the incredible adventure of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and how walking hand in hand with Him, walking side by side with Him as your Abba Daddy, as your best friend, will lead you on an adventure beyond your wildest imagination. But with every protagonist, there's got to be an antagonist, right? And we know that the devil is our enemy, and he tries to stop us at every turn when we're trying to grow and become more like Christ and seek His will and do what He wants. And one of His main tools is fear. And that was His main tool in my life. He kept me from doing so many things. And so I finally got mad because I saw fear keeping me from obeying the Lord, because what He would do is He would cause me to mistrust God's intentions. He would cause me to second guess God's motivation in asking me to do something, or to get me to second guess my own motivations. And so one day I just got mad. I was alone at home in my house, and I just shouted at the top of my lungs, "I declare war on fear." And when I said that, I felt like all heaven was like, "I'll get behind that." So I began to study how fear operates. And what the devil does, he's very sneaky. And he'll use thoughts that he plants in our head that are designed to stop us in our tracks when we're about to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he'll do is he'll paint. He's a painter. He's a songwriter and a painter. And he'll paint images in our mind of worst case scenarios. Oh, if you do that, ooh, you better not do that. And once you feel the fear, then you're intimidated. But see, how many of us know our Heavenly Father, the one who died on the cross to give us life? In fact, to give us so much life that in John, the Gospel of John chapter 10, he said, "I came that they might have life and have it to the full," or abundant, full of glory, a God-sized life, huge, as Donald Trump would say. You know, I've started doing Donald a little bit too. I have to tell you, it's really fun. But I'm always afraid the wig will fall off my head. So, anyway, I wrote a song called John 10:10 because John 10:10 is the verse where it says, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, but the thief comes that he might kill and steal and destroy." And I'd like to, first of all, share with you that I have the book, War on Fear. Now, this is 10 chapters that will change your life. My beautiful bride, Kathy, went through a life-threatening disease. In fact, she didn't know if she'd see another Christmas. She thought she'd never see another birthday. But God healed her. And we had to walk through that because fear was beaten down at us. And also, there's stories in here about 9/11, stories about people just going through their lives having to battle fears. And as a comedian, I wrote a book that I would like to read. So it's not a heavy book, it's a light book, but the stories in it are really laugh out loud, and you'll enjoy it. And my friend Alan Robertson of Duck Dynasty wrote the foreword to this one. It's called War on Fear, What Would You Do If You Were Not Afraid? So those are going to be in the back of the house at the end. And thank you, brother, I do appreciate your help. I'm going to do one more song for you that's kind of the theme to the book, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. The thief comes to kill, steal and destroy, distracting hearts with destructive toys. How wide is the road that leads to hell? As far back as I can recall, he's been pushing me down, leading my fall by telling me lies about you, my sweet Lord. Oh, but patiently you waited for my desperate cry. You burst through the door and you gave your life, you gave it to the full, no holding back. You gave your everything for me. You won the love of God for me. Then you gave me life, you gave it to the full, no holding back. You gave your everything to me. Now you are everything to me. Yet still he comes, making his noise, robbing us blind, stealing our joy by telling us lies about you, Lord. Oh, but we know you, the way, the truth, our desperate cry. Our life is in you, 'cause you gave your life, you gave it to the full, no holding back. You
gave your everything for me. You won the love of God for me. Then you gave me life, you gave it to the full, no holding back. You gave your everything to me. Now you are everything to me. I want you, I need you, and I'm so glad I have you forever and ever. You'll never leave, 'cause you gave your life, you gave it to the full, no holding back. You gave your everything to me. Now you are everything to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, to close, let's just have a few moments of reflection. Those of you who are in this room tonight, today, this morning, that know the Lord, I'm so happy for you. But if you're here and you know that fear keeps you from being all in, and you're not happy with that, maybe you're mad like me, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to do a work, to give us wisdom and courage to stand with Christ rather than standing with his foe. And if you're here today and you don't know this wonderful love of the Savior, maybe the idea of knowing Jesus is a big mystery to you. It was like that for me. I remember when somebody said, you can know Jesus, and I thought, wow, you really are smoking some good stuff. But I'll never forget that day when I surrendered my life to him and he came inside. I found a peace I had never known, and that peace hasn't left me for over 40 years, and you can know that peace today if you invite Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior.